Welcome back, podcast fans. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and this is Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. So it's Mitochondrial Disease Awareness Week, and I'm wearing my green dress. Green is our color, and every year I put this green dress on. It's my favorite, and I wear it to raise awareness for mitochondrial disease, which my daughter Elizabeth had. She was born a 29-week preemie. She was born at 2 pounds. If any of you have had a preemie, you know that 2 pounds is really small. And she was born in 1996. So that was a long time ago, back in the day when there was a lot less things that you could do for a 2 pound 29-week preemie. She survived, but she did have quite profound disabilities. Some of them were due to prematurity, but most of her disabilities were due to her mitochondrial disease, which we did not find out until she was 2.5 years old. Mitochondrial disease had not really been talked about much, really hadn't been discovered. We didn't know a lot about it. Had only really been around for about a decade at that point. And the closest they could come to figuring out what was going on with her in 1999, we had to go out of state to do the testing. And they did it by fresh muscle biopsy. It's very different nowadays. We got diagnosed with something called Lee's disease. For her, actually, it was titled Lee's-like disease. It was the closest they could come. And it was a very serious diagnosis. Many children died before they reached their fifth, sixth birthdays. Elizabeth survived to age 17 with some pretty intense consequences. She was a wheelchair user. She was blind, low vision, but blind, with cortical visual impairment. She had profound intellectual disabilities. She was nonverbal. And the list goes on. But she was so much a part of our community. She was so much a part of our family. She was funny and kind, and she had a personality for miles. You know, she wasn't a piece of furniture like some people want to treat people with disabilities. She was intentional and purposeful in her relationships. Her life had meaning, and it has been my responsibility and my purpose in making sure that her life continues to have meaning for the 10 years since we lost her. It'll be 10 years this November since she passed. And so this year, Mitochondrial Disease Awareness Week is particularly meaningful for me. And I have done a lot this year. First and foremost, besides all the business things that I normally do, many of which you all have heard me talk about, I have moved our community that we have on Facebook, our Circle of Care. It's got almost 1,000 members in it now. I'm in the process of moving that over to Mighty Networks. Yay! I'm super excited about that. Please, please come join us there. It's a free community. Of course, we're going to have other things there that you can join that will cost money, but most of the foundational things are free. I've always been all about free information, free support. Want you to join our community. Community is everything to us in the disability world. And information and advocacy are key. And this is all in Elizabeth's name. She loved her community. She was an integral part of our community. Everybody knew her. Everybody. Think about that old show, Cheers, where Norm would walk in and everybody would say, "Norm." That's the way it was in our community when Elizabeth would walk down the street and would walk through not just our neighborhood, but through our downtown. Everybody would say, "Hi, Elizabeth." Everybody knew her. She was that person. So community is everything to us, everything. So I want to make sure that community continues, that it grows, that it is something that brings meaning to all of you. And we can do that so much more effectively on Mighty Networks. So please join us there. We've got a bunch of events this week in honor of Mitochondrial Disease Awareness Week and in honor of Elizabeth. This is our soft launch tonight, if you are hearing this, Wednesday, the 20th. If not, we're doing something on Friday. And next week, we're having a great event about housing. So please check us out. And we will continue to have events for the next months and years to come. So please join us. But particularly, we are doing lots of things around caregiving, parenting, self-advocacy, and all the things that matter to you, the things that I've been hearing from you. This network, this community is not about me. It's not about what I want you to know. This community is about you. And what you want to know and what you want to talk to each other about. That is the difference between the Facebook community that we used to have, where it was all information delivery to you, and this network, which is a community built by you for you. So different and so exciting. So today's podcast is it's a podcast with Marcy Randall, who is the creator of Sunshine Photography, another mom like me, maybe like you, who saw a need in the community and just filled it. Love her mission. It is to create beautiful pictures of our families because really, there wasn't people who were doing it. I don't know about you, but I had the hardest time getting good pictures of Elizabeth. It was challenging both for our family and in the school setting. And I just love someone who sees a need and fills it. See that sign behind me? Create the things you wish existed. I live by that motto. Marcy does too. So I love this podcast. I hope that you will come join us on Mighty Networks. I hope that you will go to www.mitoaction.org and find out more about mitochondrial disease, what you can do to spread awareness and share information. And please come join us on Mighty Networks. And here we go. I'm so excited today. I have my friend Marcy Randall here, and we are talking about photography today. Now, you may think this is all fun and games. However, if any of you have had to try to get your kiddo to sit for a picture, you know it's not. So, Marcy, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. And it has been a little bit trying to get our schedules coordinated. So, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so
Welcome.
much for having me. I'm really excited. I really
I'm
appreciate it.
excited too. And it's fall here in New England, which is so beautiful at this time of year. I love September.
I do.
So, yeah, I mean, first of all, your background is amazing. Is that a picture that you took?
That is a picture that I took. I wanted to go apple picking someplace new, and I found a place in Connecticut, and by the time I got there, they were actually all out of apples. But
Oh, wow.
I bring my camera everywhere, especially in the fall. And they had this gorgeous sunflower field, so I took some photos there, and just all the leaves changing. And I love photographing farms and farmers markets and that kind of thing. So it was a good day, even though I didn't
Yeah,
get it.
let's describe this for people who are visually impaired. There
Sure.
is a field of sunflowers, and they're all turned away from us, which is really interesting. And then you can see in the background a hill with some changing colors, just starting to change from green to red and orange and gold, and then a little, maybe a farmhouse,
A barn or something.
just
The
peeking
roof.
up.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Thank you.
So Marcy's company is Sunshine Photography, and spelled with her last name in it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Have you been searching for a law firm that understands the unique challenges of your family? We can help. My name is Annette Hines, and I'm a mom and an attorney. And I'm also an advocate. And I started Special Needs Law Group because when my family was young, I struggled to find all the services and support that my family needed. We can help here at Special Needs Law Group with special needs trusts, guardianships, and maybe you aren't even sure what you need yet. And we can help with that too. Book a free call today. You can either use our link in the show notes, or you can go to www.specialneeds-law.com. See you soon.
Yes, Schein. My name is Marcy Shine, and when I was growing up, my friends all called me Sunshine.
So cool. So she is a ball of sunshine, totally. She's always smiling, and she has a huge smile on her face now. And she is such a wonderful person. So, Marcy, would you love to tell everybody how we met?
Yes, we met many years ago. My son he's now 15. He is medically complex, and I reached out to you, I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 10 or 11, probably 9 or 10 years ago, because MassHealth was cutting our nursing hours. And I was freaking out. Because he came home, he was in the NICU for the first 6 months, and then he came home, and we had 112 hours of nursing. He had a trach, he had a G tube, so that was 2 out of 3 shifts of a day. So, when the overnight nurse left, another nurse came at 7 in the morning, and then from 3 to 11, I was kind of on my own and freaking out every single day. And then they wanted to cut our hours, and I didn't know what I was going to do because I was just starting to be comfortable with those 8 hours that I was on my own. Because my husband, wasn't home from work yet, and he would work late. So my son might even be in bed by the time my husband got home. So I was on my own and terrified.
Yeah.
And so I called you and I said, what do I do? How do I appeal this? And you were very helpful in explaining to me how to appeal and what kind of letter to write. And we did appeal, and I think the first time we were able to keep our 112 hours, but then next time they cut them again, and so we got into this routine of having to write these letters every so often, because we felt that he still needed as much as possible. But that was how we met, and I was so excited to find you, to find someone who actually was so well versed in all of this, because I didn't know what I was going to do.
And it's only because we've been through that ourselves.
Right.
It's not because as a lawyer, you ever really learn how to do these things. You don't get trained as a lawyer to learn this like really remote kind of law. Truly, nobody teaches you that. So tell us a little bit more about your family and about your son.
Sure. My son, well, I'll start. My husband he has two kids from his previous marriage who are now both adults. James is 24 and Cassidy's 27. And our son Harrison is 15. He was born 5 weeks early, and he has a chromosomal abnormality. He has 18p deletion, which affected the way that he physically developed. Everything is like really tight in his face. So his nasal passages are very tiny, which is why he ended up needing a trach, because he couldn't get enough oxygen. He would burn calories faster than he could get them in. So that's why he had so much trouble breathing. He also has he has diabetes insipidus, which is a sodium regulation issue. His body has kind of worked that out on his own. So we feel very fortunate about that, but we still always have to be very aware of his fluids intake and output. Because if his sodium gets too high, then he does have epilepsy. And so when his sodium,
can't forget that.
I can't forget that. His seizures might increase. And when his sodium gets too low, that's even more of an issue of seizures increasing and everything else. And it seems like anything his body is dealing with is manifested through seizures before anything else. But those, thankfully now with, we found three medications that he's on that seem to be, he still has them almost every day, but nothing like he used to. So we're very fortunate right. about that.
It's with so many of our kiddos when they grow, if they just are given time to grow and get bigger, they can sometimes stabilize. And not for everybody, but for a lot of our kiddos.
That's what we were hoping with. We put off getting the trach for a few months when they originally wanted him to have it. He was about like maybe 3 months old, and we just kept saying, let's just see if he grows out of it, because really his nose just has to grow. And then he was in the hospital the whole time because they wouldn't let him home until his blood oxygen was stable for, I don't know, he had to go like 3 days without desatting or something, which he could never do. And but we said, no, let's just let him grow. And then he ended up having a respiratory event, and the next day I noticed he had his first seizure. And so they did they hooked him up to a video EEG, and while they were watching his EEG on video, he had another respiratory event. And so meaning they had to give him chest compressions. And once he gets out of it, he's giggling like, haha, I just wanted some attention. But after that second event, my husband and I said, okay, let's just do the trach. And so he got the trach. Like a month later, I remember it was August 18th because that was my grandfather's birthday. We had that for 44 months.
Wow. So we got it
right after he turned four. And thank God. I was very happy when he got that out, because that was just a germ magnet. It just made him just get sick, pneumonia yes. constantly. So spent a lot of time in the hospital.
Yes. I know that so well. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. So when he was born and little, were you working?
I was not. I was on the verge of being laid off because everybody, I was an editor at a publishing house and everybody was being laid off. And which meant the fewer that us were left, I think there was like three people left on my team still doing the work of the whole team. And I was about halfway through my pregnancy and I just got kind of tired of taking the train in and into Boston. And I had been a reading tutor in the past. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to get laid off anyway. I'm just going to quit and I'm going to try to build up my photography business and try to rebuild my tutoring business. A few months later, he came early and all of that went out the window. But I had just finished like a degree in or a certificate in digital photography because I had always been a photographer, but I didn't know anything about digital. So I decided to go to school to learn all about that and the business end of it. And so that's why I was at a point where I was ready to start trying to build a business. And then I was busy.
Having a premature baby can do that to you, especially one with all of these medical needs, for
All the
sure.
medical needs, and I was at the hospital every single day for 6 months, minus maybe a long weekend that my husband convinced me to go away on. So,
And having to learn all those advocacy skills, let's not forget about that.
yeah, when you're told how important your opinion is as a mother. When it happens to agree with what the doctors are saying is great. But when it doesn't agree with the doctors are saying, and you start to feel bullied, you have to speak up. And I had many times where the NICU team was not happy with me, and I got lectured and I got pulled into meetings. I still didn't realize I was learning how to advocate, but I didn't really have it down yet because I was just yelling and screaming and whining and saying, you know, this, why don't you believe me? And da, 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 da. Like I realized I needed to learn a more diplomatic way
I was just going to say that
advocate for my
diplomacy is
child.
key. But
And
when
I
you're
don't
exhausted,
know what you
it's
don't know.
hard.
And I didn't know, and I didn't have really much support here. I had because my family's in Baltimore, and I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Were you and your husband in lockstep together on things?
For the most part, we were, I think I had some intuition of things that weren't right that he wasn't ready to he listened to the doctors a little bit more and I argued a lot more and he listened to the doctors a lot more but at the same time if he agreed with me he just was more he was a better more diplomatic person in dealing with it. So I would react very emotionally and immediately. And he was trying to get me to say, like, all right, just step back and we'll handle it, but we need to find a better way to handle it. So, yes.
So when did things start to calm down finally, where you felt like you could begin to work on some things for yourself?
Gosh. I'd say I kind of got used to him being in the hospital, but then once he came home, it all kind of turned upside down again.
It
Because he
starts
was
all over again, right?
6 months
You
old.
have to start a new routine and, and then you're back on your own and
I was back on my own, because my husband had just started a new job and he was building a business at the same time. And I had two puppies that we got.
Well, that's just crazy. Why did you
I
do
know.
that?
We got them right before I found out I was pregnant. So I guess they weren't puppies anymore, but there were two of them, and they instigated each other. So they were, but they were very good around my son. They were really, really good around the baby. But I think it was hard because I didn't have a lot of support. I don't have family here. My in-laws could be supportive in some ways, but they couldn't really physically take care of him and give me that kind of respite. So if I didn't have a nurse here, I was just, took me a really long time to feel settled.
Yeah. And the nurses are like, there's pros and cons.
Yes, there are pros and cons. We had one nurse that, he literally slept the entire 8 hours she was here. And I think it's because she smelled like the 20 cats that she had in her house.
Oh.
Yeah. And we let her go. And then had another nurse who she was filling in for someone, and she spent the entire shift doing paperwork and saying she had to correct the last nurse's paperwork. And the only interaction she had with my son was changing his diaper a couple times and getting his feeding done. Like, she barely talked to him. She didn't play with him.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I can only, you know, I want to be there as the mom and let the nurse do the nursing stuff. But at the same time, I need the break. So I need to be able to leave the room and know that he's still getting some stimulation.
Right.
You know, and then I had another nurse that I was, you know, doing my mom thing with him, and my friend came over to visit and just, you know, to see him, and we're rocking, and the nurse was literally standing right behind me, hovering. And that's not comfortable either.
Yep.
Intrusive. And overnight nursing is intrusive because they're in the room right next door.
Yeah.
You're never
you
alone.
Win.
When you are alone, you're terrified to be alone.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you just can't win. It's very intrusive. You never have a minute to yourself. You can't fight with your husband because they hear every word.
They do. You can't fight. You can't be intimate. You can't do nothing.
You can't have a conversation. They hear everything. You can't whisper about your checkbook being overdrawn because they know you're in financial trouble.
You know everything. Yeah. It's not what you wanted.
It's really awful. Yeah. I mean, we've had all those things. And then they call out and you don't have a replacement because they never send anybody. And you really don't get the best of the best with home care, for sure.
And then if he had an appointment and a nurse called out, I wouldn't be able to take him by myself because I was in the car and he had the trach. And, you know, once he got bigger and was doing better, I said, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to defy the, I'm going to defy the rules, and I'm bringing him by myself to the doctor because I don't have a choice, you know. And I would start with rides, like short rides, just to make myself comfortable. But his trach needed to be suctioned a lot. And, whenever people say, you know, what's your superpower? I'm like, I can suction a trach on my child in the backseat at a stoplight. I mean, you know, I bet nobody else can do that.
So you couldn't recruit a friend to drive you?
Once in a while, I could, but I never really tried to do that. I think I probably had my sister-in-law a couple of times, or maybe my mother-in-law drove me a couple of times, but it wasn't something that I really had, like, reliable people that were always there.
Yeah. You know, I think I really understand, though, because we never really want to put anybody out. We never really want to intrude, or, you know, we just always, as moms, we just always feel like, oh, I don't want to ask somebody to do that for me. Like, That's
And the
my
problem with
job.
that is it shouldn't be that way. There's all these other cultures and societies are based on being there for each other and being a literal village. And here we are expected to do it all ourselves. And so when we do need help, it's really hard to ask.
Yeah. So in thinking about you setting up this business, your sunshine photography business, you know, I just love the model that you have designed to, you know, which you are taking our families into consideration and all of what we have that we face. As we are talking about these things, I know that the experience of raising Harrison is at the forefront of your mind as you move forward and you start to develop this business. You love photography and you want to make it a business. And I want to talk to you about that pivot point.
Sure.
When do you start deciding that you want to make money at this, that you want to start doing photography as a business and charging people for it?
It was always like a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I never thought I could do that because we weren't like a support the arts kind of family growing up.
Yeah.
Dad's a lawyer. He wanted me to go to law school and take over his practice. And so it was like a very education and professional minded household that I grew up in, which is fine. I mean, you know, I'm very lucky. My dad built an amazing business as a lawyer. So
by the way, you would have been an amazing lawyer.
Because I can argue.
And you were a great advocate, for your son, and you could come and join me anytime.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I appreciate it. And maybe I'll take you up on it. I always loved photography. There was a girl that I went to school with since elementary school whose mother was a photographer. And I was like, oh my God, somebody, you can do that as your job. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, we had our family photographer, and that was what he did for a living. And I always thought that was really cool. And, but it never dawned on me that I could actually do that because I just never knew. I never thought that I was capable of having my own business just because I didn't have that kind of confidence growing up. But I decided, and I'm from Baltimore, and I was in Boston, and then I went back to Baltimore. And then a friend of mine said that BU was starting a brand new digital arts program. And I was like, that's my perfect excuse to come back to Boston. And because I didn't want to come back without a job. But if I had school, then I could just get a job to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So I came back for that program, and I was in the first part-time evening program. Because I knew nothing about digital photography. I'd done a lot of Lightrooms, a lot of darkroom stuff, and I knew I had a good eye, but I didn't know anything about building a business. So I thought this is a perfect thing. I can learn about digital, and I can learn more about lighting and technical stuff, and I can learn about how to build a business. And so that was when it first entered my head that this might actually be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, over the next few years, you know, even with Harrison, I was still, you know, I would get like a job here and there, a paying photography job here and there, but it was very inconsistent and piecemeal. And then I met somebody who helped me develop a website. So mm-hmm. I really learned this business stuff very slowly, a little bit at a time. And I still didn't know how to market myself. And then, you know, I didn't, do I want to do food? Do I want to do families? Cause those are the two things I love to do the best. And, we had some family friends whose daughter had Rett syndrome, And she's like, hey, will you come to our family photos? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it dawned on me later that someone else might have been really intimidated about taking these photos. Because this beautiful little girl was in a wheelchair. She did not make great eye contact. She couldn't hold herself up. She presented a lot like my son does. But I didn't really think twice about it. I just kind of knew what to do to get some nice images of her. And so the mom, my friend, said, this is what you should be doing. You should be doing special needs photography. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's, I didn't know that was a thing. And we're like, well, we can make it a thing. And so I still was doing, you know, offering all different kinds of family photography, saying, and I'm especially, you know, this is my specialty. Then I started doing some, getting into some networking business groups and really learning how to build a business. And someone said to me, what do you love doing the most? And I said, school photos and individual portraits of people with disabilities, because they always stink. They're always terrible. School photos are always terrible. And when your child is disabled, they're even more terrible. And Harrison came home with a photo of him in his wheelchair, literally his head cocked to one side and eyes closed. He was dead asleep. And that's what they sent home. I'm like, this is the best one you could get. And you expect me to pay for these? No, no, no. And I said that this is, I can do this better. And so that was kind of the turning point where I said, this is going to be my niche. There's a million family photographers just in my town and surrounding towns. I don't need to compete with all of them. I'm going to do best at what I love to do the best. And that's, this, because even before I had Harrison, I had a lot of work experience with people with disabilities, and I love being around them, and I'm comfortable, and I always had a good rapport with them. And why shouldn't I put these two things together?
And I think that's great.
I'm happy. People appreciate my experience and my patience and my creativity. And I think moms especially and teachers appreciate that I understand what they're thinking and what they want and what they're going through. And I know what kind of photos they want. Mm-hmm. And I know that my big thing is we as special needs families, there's a lot of things out there for us, but we have to find them, and we don't get to do a lot of the things that most families get to do. So easy. Everything is a process, and everything is a big production. And sure, I can take my kid to the zoo just like everybody else, but it's a production to take him out anywhere.
Right.
Because, you know, we're so overloaded with stuff, and I have to make sure the timing's right. And make sure he has his tube feeding and all that stuff. So it's everything takes a lot of preparation. And one of the things that we all deserve is beautiful family portraits and beautiful portraits of our children that show who they really are. And, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I have a friend who has a brother who has autism, pretty severe. And she said, you know, she's got there's always tons of pictures of her, but not a lot of her brother, because they would get a couple, they would suck, and so they would just give up.
Yeah.
That made me sad. That made me so sad. So, I mean, I said, hook me up with his group home. I want to go do photos there, you know?
Yeah. But why don't people do more of that? I mean,
I don't know. I don't think you know, volume photography is in it, is, you know, like the school photos, that's about, unfortunately making money and volume and just getting contracts with as many schools as you can. I think, you know, so my approach is not, even if I'm doing school photography, I'm still going there and spending as much time as I need with each person. I'm not boom, 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 you know, look at me, smile, next, sit down, look at me, smile, turn your head, next. You know, I want to make sure I spend as much time as I have to with each kid or adult, whoever I'm photographing. And I actually have a few other photography friends who have kids with disabilities. And it was really exciting to meet them because we all understand each other and we all have the same kind of approach. But they don't specialize in just this. I mean, if a typical family asked me for photos, I'm very happy to do their photos for them. But what I really try to look for is the population who don't have a lot of photos taken of them in general, don't typically get great photos.
I've never heard of somebody going to a group home and taking photos.
I want to do that. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
They should have, they should make it, it's their home. They should have photos of themselves up on the walls.
Like, yeah.
Nice formal, when I say formal, I say that in quotes, but professional photographs.
I wonder why nobody's ever thought of that.
So that's one of my goals is to, my offers is I want to get in there and do that.
And make it affordable for people. I can't imagine it's that expensive. I mean,
it's really just, it's paying for my time and my experience, just like any other photographer.
Right. I know what photographers cost to do family pictures. It's within the realm of anybody's.
All over the place, though.
I can't imagine. I guess it's just a matter of what would any family member, guardian, or anybody place a value on, I guess. And I think about some of the silly things that people pay for. This would be towards the top of the list for sure. And many of the people that I support would enjoy seeing a picture of themselves hanging for sure.
Absolutely.
In their room, in the living room. Yeah. I love that idea. Marcy, what is the name of your company again?
Sunshine Photography, and it's SunSchein.
And how do people reach you? What's your website?
My website is sunshinephotography.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram and Pinterest.
Oh, that's great. If people, this podcast goes out to people all over the world. So you can't be the only one doing this. How do people find a photographer if they're not in this area, in the Massachusetts area? How can people start to find somebody like you in their area?
I got a certification from this organization. It was at the time called Special Kids of America, Special Kids Photography of America. It has changed the name, and I will look that up for you, because it offers, they train photographers to do exactly this, special needs photography. And I think it was started by a mom who was just fed up with not being able to get a great picture of her child.
Okay.
And so they have, if you're a photographer, you can go through their training. And they also have a huge resource list if you need to find a photographer in your area all over the country.
Awesome. Let's get that into our show notes. Yes. Because I'm worried that people will get frustrated that they can't have you come out to Wisconsin or Utah to exactly. take a picture of their kids, Yeah. I want to make sure that people have resources. So what's next for you? Because I know you're slow going trying to build your business, and you and I have talked about some of the roadblocks that are in your way. What are you encountering as some roadblocks as you're trying to build this business?
Well, when I, it's actually getting better, I will say, over the past several months, more people are finding me. One of the roadblocks I have is if I reach out to a service provider or a private school, and they say, oh, we already have a photographer. And they might not be ready to move away from their volume photographer because it's so easy. And I'm like, even though mine are better, you know, when I say, you know, and I say, are you guys happy with the photos? And I make them think about it, like, or are your families happy with the photos? But that's one roadblock. Another, I think the biggest roadblock has just been making people more aware that I exist. And I would say in the past 6 months, this was kind of my goal for this year, was to be more seen. Like, you know, make sure more people know about me. I've been doing a ton of networking. I've been meeting a lot of people, but personal networking with service providers and organizations who serve our special needs community.
This is definitely a specialty. I think that it is enormously challenging to get a good picture of our kids. I think of all the tough, tough school pictures I had of Elizabeth. Every single time she had her head down, she had drool, she had eyes closed, she had, you know, a shirt on that was soaking wet, you know, because somebody didn't bother to change her. She had a bib on. Like, those are not pictures that you want.
They're not. And I emphasize that I'm partnering with the parents, or I'm partnering with the schools and the teachers. And what I love, like when I go to do the school pictures at Harrison School, I love that, you know, they bring the kids out, you know, class at a time, and they do one kid at a time. And there's always somebody there to like wipe their face or to change their bib, or to give them tickles to get them to look or to get them to smile, like to really interact with each kid when it's time for their photo. Right. And because they're not on their own. And I do the same with families. And I also, I have like a document of tips and tricks to get great photos to be prepared for a great photo session. And it's some suggestions, and it's also a checklist. Make sure you have everything you need. Like if you're doing family photos, make sure you bring extra clothes, extra bibs, a snack, a toy that they love, diapers, brush and comb. You know, it's just all these little things that you might not think about.
Yeah.
And then I also just developed a social story to help kids be prepared to get their photos done. So that's more of like a visual for the kids.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that will soon be, that's brand new. So I'm still getting some feedback on it, but it's something that I am really excited to share out to families and especially schools.
All the things you never think about. I wish I had known you then, because I could have used some help. Believe me, it was really, really tough to get good pictures of Elizabeth. I've only got a few. And we always caught them on the fly. They were never the prepared, planned ones.
Those
you know?
Are the best ones. Those are the natural ones. And I will tell you, I do not always get the best photos of my child because I'm his mother. So it even happens to me. That's the other thing that I have to offer is you can't spend all your time trying to get great pictures of your child when you're busy doing all these other things for him or her.
So true.
And you're not going to get the best ones because we know how they are with their mothers.
Yeah.
So let me come in and get the pictures of your child, and let me get some of all of you together, because you probably don't have a lot of those. I myself have three photos of me and my husband and my son, and zero of me and my husband and all three kids. So
yeah, that is excellent advice. I have so few family pictures, and I cherish every one of them, because as you all know, I mean, Elizabeth is no longer with us, and life is short, people. You just never know when things are going to change for you. Cherish those pictures. I know I do. As we round the corner for 10 years anniversary of Elizabeth being gone, you know, life just travels on, and pictures may be all we have left. So
I lost my mom when I was really young, and I only have pictures of her up to, she was 55. So I only have pictures of her up to a certain age, and pictures of us together up to a certain age of me. And then it all just stopped. So I'm thankful that I have so many to look back on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then other thing I wanted to say, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, please.
The other thing I wanted to say is what my main goal is to get images of people that show off who they really are. So instead of with a fake smile, yeah. I want people to see the person that you see. Like you see the true spirit of the person because you love them. And I want other people I want that reflected in their images so that
You have that on your website. That's really, your website's really lovely. And I want people to go and visit you there at Sunshine Photography. It's a really nice website. You did a great job on it. It's really lovely. And your pictures are awesome. They really are.
Very much.
And I really think this business is wonderful, and it's so needed in our community. As I told you when we met some months ago in the spring, it's something special, and it's really filling a void, something that we don't have. And so I'm glad that you've decided that you want to do this, because, well, first of all, it's not easy.
Not, but I love it. It's what I'm most comfortable doing and what I most love to do.
And that shows through for sure. And I hope that there are others like you out there in many places all over the US.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on. It's really great to see you again. And Sunshine Photography, we'll have all of Marcy's contact information in the show notes, and go and enjoy her wonderful pictures on her website. Thanks, Marcy.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts. I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.